The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Jesus was walking on the sea, and the disciples were in a boat. And when Peter saw him, Peter said, "Master, if it be you, bid me to come over." Then boldly Peter stepped out of the boat, because he was watching his master who was walking on the waves. But just when he took his eyes off Christ and set it on the waters, then Peter began to drown. Then he called out on Jesus and said, "Lord, save me." His master held him by the hand and lifted him up. And the same Peter walked from that place back to the boat. Tonight, God is telling us that there are various things that may compete with our attention. But the best thing to do is to have your focus. Your focus, which must be centered on Christ, so you don't waver, so you don't get disturbed, so you don't get fearful, so you don't move into anxiety. The Bible says in the last days there will be difficult times, but when this happens, look up unto the Most High God, from whence cometh your help. Don't look in the wrong directions. You may be overawed with fear. The second point to note from that text is, it doesn't just ask us to look unto Jesus, but the second point is the author and finisher. This Jesus we are to look on has been described as the author and finisher of our faith. In the Greek, the word author means pioneer. It also means captain, means a prince, means a founder, a leader, or an originator. So Jesus, being the author, is the pioneer of our faith. He is also the captain of our faith. The captain of a ship determines the direction. There may be storms out there on the sea, but the captain navigates through so that he will take all the passengers who are on board to a place of safety. Jesus is our captain. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus is also our leader. He determines the course that we should follow. He sets the pace. He's the one that guides us to bring us to the place where we ought to be. So even when we don't have faith, he's the one that boosts faith in us. He's the originator of our faith. Receive this grace for increased faith. Now Jesus is also the finisher. He's both the author and the finisher. What does it mean to be the finisher? It means the completer, or the consummator, or the perfecter. So Jesus is the author, who is the pioneer, the captain, the prince, the founder, the leader, and the originator of our faith. And the same Jesus is also the finisher. He is the completer. He is the consummator. And he's the perfecter of our faith. You know, in some track events, particularly long distance track events, there are some people who start and never finish. Am I speaking the truth? They either get a challenge along the line, or their feet begin to wobble and it's not able to take them, or they begin to gasp for breath and they can't have enough oxygen in their lungs, so they feel it's a threat to their lives, and somehow they check out of the race. But I want you to know, God does not start something with you and does not end with you. Whatever he starts with you, he has already completed the thing. So you need to follow his footsteps, so he will take you through where he has gone through already, so you will arrive at where you ought to be. I declare that God, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who has started with you, shall bring you to a perfect end. I pray that Jesus, the author, the pioneer, the leader, the captain, the founder of our faith, and the finisher, the completer, the consummator, and the perfecter of our faith, will perfect everything about your faith. In other words, if our faith was weak, Jesus will strengthen it. If our faith was wobbly, Jesus will stabilize it. If our faith was wavering, Jesus will bring further stability into our faith. And that which we need to get the miracle, God will perfect it about our lives. The Bible says, for he will perfect everything that concerns you. He will bring to a completion. He will bring to a point of consummation anything that concerns your life. So God will not leave you in a midstream encounter. He will start with you, walk right by your side, take you through the difficult moments, and lead you to the line, the finishing line. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In the Hebrew, that word faith there refers to our confidence. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our confidence. Secondly, it means of our trust. And thirdly, it means of our belief. So he's the author and finisher of our confidence, of our trust, and of our belief. You know, sometimes before you start something, you don't believe the thing. But somehow when you get started, some grace comes from nowhere. It actually comes from the throne of God. And that grace enables you to believe and helps you to continue until by the time you realize you would have finished a big project that you never imagined about. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes when people want to start a building, they don't even know where to start from, because they don't have enough money to get cement blocks. They don't have enough money to get sand, iron rods. They don't have enough money to get chippings. They don't have enough money that they are starting from. But there is a God who created the world. And he created the world by faith. And he spoke the things which were not as though they were. And the things came to pass. That same God is with you. And what you never imagined you could achieve, God will help you achieve. What you never imagined will come to pass, I prophetically declare to you that that thing will come to pass. the interview that you thought you would never be able to make it through, God will help you. There may be other qualified people more than you, but God will give you the answers so that you can speak and answer intelligently and correctly and please the panel. Can I hear an amen? So the kind of faith that we have has been described as the triumphant faith. Because God is the author and finisher. And even when we go through crisis in the middle of it, the triumphant faith, which is a grace from God, will help us overcome in the end. Oh, so your amen should have been bigger than that. The third point I want you to take notice of is that the Bible says, who for the joy set before him. So we said number one, looking unto Jesus. Number two, the author and finisher. And number three, who for the joy set before him. The meaning of joy in the Bible is gladness, cheerfulness, and calm delight. Gladness, cheerfulness, and calm delight. When you are glad, you are excited. When you are cheerful, it means that your spirit is up. And when you have a calm, what do you call it? When you have a calm delight, you can be joyful and still be quiet. Is somebody hearing me? And be singing songs of praise in your heart, or meditating and reflecting on how God did it, and how God brought you from where you were, and he brought you to where you are. And the more you think about it, the more you cannot reconcile how God did it. But somehow, he did it for you. May this grace of calm delight fall upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that who for the joy that was set before him. Who for the joy that was set before him. The immediate thing that was before his eyes was the cross. You're not getting what I'm saying, because very soon we'll meet it in the text. The immediate thing that was before him was the cross. The immediate thing was the arrest. The immediate thing was a spitting unto him. The immediate thing was a crown of thorns. The immediate thing was to appear before the judges. The immediate thing was for some people to say, away with him. The immediate thing was for him to carry the heavy cross while he was climbing the mountain of Golgotha. And he got to a place where he got tired and fell down and had to be assisted. The immediate thing was that he will have nails driven through his hands and his feet, and he will be thirsty, and when he asks for water, he will be given vinegar. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The immediate thing was that God will reject him, and darkness will fill the entire universe, and Jesus will pray and say, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? In spite of this, which was the immediate thing that was facing Jesus, Jesus found a way of looking beyond the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you start an academic process and it's a four-year program, it can be tough and rough. The exams can be frustrating. The assignments can be even more depressing. The deadlines that are given to you, the books that you have to seek for, when you can't find them, meanwhile you have to produce the assignment, and six lectures in a semester giving you six assignments in the same week with the same deadline. Frustrating. But there is something you must set your eyes on. the day of graduation. Oh, somebody, I'm not hearing an amen. By that, I'm telling you that for every frustration that you go through, there is a day of honor. Every setback that you will face in your life, look beyond the setback. Beyond the disappointment, there is fulfillment. Beyond the poverty, there is riches. Beyond the sorrow, there is joy. Jesus could have looked at the cross and would have been very depressed, but for the joy that was set before him. A child of God must not walk with emptiness on his eyes. If there is nothing on your eyes, you will settle where you have arrived. You will be depressed where you have arrived. You will be confused where you have arrived. But you will look beyond the frustrations of the project that you are facing. There is a finishing line. Oh, come on. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. I'm not yet. Today you may be denied what you want, but look beyond the denier. There is an acceptance. There is an approval. There is an honor. There is a day of glorification. It is coming. Look beyond the limitations. God is beyond that. God is greater than that. For the joy, meanwhile, the immediate thing was the cross. The reason why some people backslide is because they look at the Christian life and you have to deny yourself, carry your cross and follow Jesus. But at the end of the day, if you will look at the rewards in heaven, you will press on. The Bible says, for the glories that are to be revealed cannot be compared with the sufferings that we are going through. You must always keep a bright picture painted by the word of God before your eyes. And you must always be looking ahead concerning what God can do. Say your amen to rubber stamp the word into your life. Look beyond the ill treatment. Look beyond the insults. Look beyond the oppositions and the bad criticism. Look beyond that. There is something awaiting you. Look beyond the Christian life. There is heaven. Something must motivate you. That is why God calls this faith a blessed hope. It's a hope that you can never miss. It's a hope that will surely come to pass. It's a hope that in the fullness of time will be fulfilled. So hook on to the blessed hope, and you will find that in the course of time you will look back and say, but the things that I didn't have, now God has met them one by one. Come on. I see in the horizon the grace of God. I see in the horizon help from the power of God. I see in the horizon angelic assistance. I see in the horizon what man cannot accomplish, and beyond man, I see the power of God able to accomplish. I see in the horizon God visiting man and visiting men like Abraham, visiting men like Isaac, and bringing to pass the dream. Do you know what David went through after he was anointed? After he killed Saul. Sorry, after he killed Goliath, and Saul invited him to come and serve in the palace. Do you know what David went through? But he never gave up. Beyond that, he saw the throne. Come on. Do you know what Joseph went through after he dreamt of the sun and moon bound to him? So by all means, you will go through something. And God hasn't said that we will not go through anything. He said, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. He said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you, so that the fire does not consume you. God says, I will be with you even unto the end of the world. So look up, don't be discouraged. Look beyond the disappointment. Look beyond the miscarriages. Is somebody hearing me? Look beyond the exams that you have failed twice. Look beyond, you will see a pass and excellence. You will not be poor forever. You will not be thrown out by a landlord forever. One day you will be settled by the Most High God. Oh, somebody shout amen. You may not be able to pay the school fees last week, but this is another week. This is another day. More grace is coming to you. By the time you realize, your children would have gone through the entire program. Oh, shout amen to God's glory. For the joy that was set before him, I tear down any pictures of frustration before your eyes. That sit, oh come on, Musukataya. I tear down any pictures of negativity, any pictures of failure and fear. I tear down any pictures that frighten you, that you will not live beyond a certain age. You will go beyond for the joy that was set before him. I believe when you are 70, you'll be healthier than what you are now. I'm just confessing the word. I believe 80, you will really be enjoying and traveling around the world. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Look beyond the frustrations in your country. Look beyond COVID. Is somebody hearing me? Look beyond the war in Ukraine by Russia. Look beyond. Look beyond. Don't throw up your arms in despair. Don't give up. Don't say that it's not possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And to him that believeth, all things are possible. It is on this basis that God designed purpose and vision. Because purpose tells you the reason why God created you. And vision gives you the goal to fight and live for. So a life that hasn't got the goal gives up easily. Because when such people go ahead, you know, there were people in the tribe of Israel who were not willing to enter the promised land. So they said, we'll go and help you fight, then we'll return to the other side of the Jordan. They were supposed to be on the western side of the Jordan, but some said that they will live on the eastern side, which was not the ideal for them. The prosperity was not located. There are some things that are geographically located by God. And they said they were discouraged because the way was long. Indeed, the way was long, but they should have looked beyond the way. God has a reward at the end of the journey. God is a rewarder. You may work for somebody who may not pay you, but God is a rewarder. You may have a contract with a government and the resources of the government may not be adequate and you may not be paid, but God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He will pay you. There's a payday of them that diligently seek him. He will answer your prayers. He will solve your problems. Don't just come to church for coming's sake. Don't just pray for praying's sake. Keep something before your eyes. It must be a vision. It must be a plan of approved of God. It must be joy. It must be hope. It must be confidence. Keep something before your eyes. So Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, so you don't get distracted. Number two, the author and finisher, the beginning and the end of our faith, of our confidence, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That is number four. Who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross. Endured the cross. The word endure in this context means perseverance. So Jesus persevered. The odds were against him. The winds of adversity were blowing against him. But he pressed on toward the mark. Paul said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling. Endured means fortitude, some courage, some confidence to face the odds, believing that you come out better. Endured means to stay under. The circumstances may not be the best, but you don't chicken out. The circumstances may not be the best, but you don't run out of that marriage. No, don't chicken out. Tell the next person, don't chicken out, don't chicken out. You see, it is what you see about yourself in the school, about yourself in that job, about yourself in ministry, and about yourself in that marriage that comes to pass. Amen. After seeing that, you need to endure. Jesus endured by looking beyond the cross. In Hebrews 11, the Bible says, for Moses endured the afflictions by looking at the God who is located in the realms of the invisible. Moses could not have endured the backside of the desert. Somebody living in the king's palace, treated with all the protocols, servants at his disposal, trained in the Egyptian way, but the mother was close, educating him that he was a Hebrew. He could have played it cool by not killing any Egyptian so that he could have remained there. But the Bible says he chose to suffer affliction. There is a stage in your life that sometimes you must choose to be with God. Choose to be with the things of God. Choose to be with Christ. Say, for he chose to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There are some choices that you make that in the short run, you are deprived of what others will be enjoying. But if it's an action based on the principles of the Word of God, I can guarantee you that you have the last laugh. Amen. So Jesus endured by looking beyond the cross. Moses endured by looking at the God who was located in the realms of the invisible. And we are living through times that are getting more and more difficult. Prices are going high and some things are becoming scarce. And all the impact that is having on the budget in the home and on the budget in your life are heavy. But you can't abandon your faith. You can't run away. You can't chicken out. Endure. May the grace of perseverance be our portion. May the anointing to continue pushing forward without getting discouraged. May the fortitude of God come to rest in our chest. That will look at inflation and address inflation, and inflation will drop to the ground. We will look at the rising prices and we'll arrest it and ask God to give us more so we can handle the matters around us. Shout amen to God's glory. The weddings that must occur this year will occur. The marriages that must occur this year will occur. The houses that must be built shall be built. The children that must be dedicated, born and dedicated, will be born and dedicated. the academic fees that must be paid shall be paid, whether they are £20,000 or $40,000, it shall be paid for by the grace of God. It shall be paid, sir. So there are things we endure. Sometimes you endure mockery. You endure laughter. You endure people casting insinuations against you, making reckless comments intended to offend you. I tell you, endure. Can I hear an amen? I say endure. Listen to me. There are some people, you know, when you live in a compound house and there are 3, 4, 5, 6 families, and you necessarily must say hi to somebody because you meet them, you know our culture, and there are some people that don't want to greet you, so they don't want to set their eyes on your eyes. So when they meet you, they'll pass another corner fast, even if they have nothing doing that corner, and they will pretend as if they haven't heard your greetings. Sometimes it occurs in church. Oh, can I preach on? Where the person doesn't want to say hello to you. And sometimes the person is even an in-law. You have to endure. It is not everybody that will laugh with you. It is not everybody that will even smile at you. Because some people say they don't want to pretend, so they will make you unhappy. But church, you must make yourself happy. Yeah. I didn't hear an amen. Yeah. You don't need their smiles to continue serving God. You don't need their kindness to continue serving God. It's painful. It hurts, but endure it. One day, Joseph's brothers who rejected him will bow down at his feet. Look forward to that day. Can I hear an amen? And don't let anybody make you stop coming to church because they make faces at you. I thank God for face mask. Whether they frown or smile, you can't see. So I don't know how some people see some people are frowning at them. Pastor JB, tell me. Because look at Pastor Winfred Darko's face. He's wearing the thing. I don't know whether he's frowning. He's laughing. You have discernment of spirits. Listen to me. Some people will like you, but others may not like you. Some may not like you because they are not in good mood. Oh. They are going through their own emotional problems. Have patience with them. Endure for now, for greater laughter is coming. Can I tell you, God will so bless you that at a point they will have a need. And there will be no one they can reach out to unless you. And when they are coming, they will not call you Sister Cho or something. They will call you Mama or Madam. Oh, fine. I mean, talk about I ain't come up with you. Kikabu, I balance you. Okay, I hear you. Amen. Amen. So don't be a slave to the opinions of people. There are people, they are not happy with them, sir. And sometimes it's a genuine challenge they have. So be patient with people when they don't smile back at you. Can you put your hands together? So number one, we have discussed looking unto Jesus. Number two, author and finisher. Number three, who for the joy set before him. Number four, endure. This is a period of endurance. You can't be hopping from church to church, marriage to marriage, country to country. Number five, what did he endure? The cross. Let me read the text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Remember, I'm preaching on despising the shame, so we are coming to that. Endure the cross. I know you want me to tell you that the cross is a place of power, and it's a place of exchanges, and it's a place where we won over the devil. That is absolutely true, and that must be preached. But tonight, I'm telling you that the cross was a place of affliction. It was a place of torture. It was a place of abuse, a place of agony, a place of shame and disgrace, a place of death and pain, a place of darkness and trauma, a place of sin and rejection, and a place of horror. Before the better things occurred after Christ had died, these were the things that occurred before Christ died and when he was dying. So it was either horror, it was either trauma, it was either pain, rejection. God rejected him because sin was put upon him. And that's why he cried and asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was tortured and pierced in the side. He was abused and laughed at, mocked at, became an object of shame and disgrace. But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, endured the disgrace, endure the pain and the death and the darkness and the wounds and the trauma and the rejection and the crucifixion and the horror and the agony and the shame and the sin. He endured. You must endure. You see, the endurance is predicated or based on what he saw ahead. Apostle Paul is an amazing character. That the man was on the verge of persecuting the Christians and wanted a letter of authorization, was on his way to Damascus when he saw that blinding light and Christ spoke to him and said, why dost thou persecute me, Saul, Saul? Don't you know that it's difficult to kick against the power of God? Then Saul asked, who are you? Then the voice responded, I'm Jesus Christ, whom thou art persecuting. That broke Saul's heart, because nobody could persuade Saul on earth. Only God had to persuade him. In case you are due for a blessing, may God speak to the heart of the one that must honor you. May God speak to the heart of that person. Amen. Yes. Amen. So eventually what happened was, Paul stayed in Arabia for 3 years, studied the word, saw the face of God, and God spoke to him some depths of revelation. Then he started preaching around Asia Minor. Wherever Saul went to, Paul went to preach, there was trouble. Sometimes they would take him and beat him up. And then a man that has been beating up false accusations, thrown into jail. One occasion, he and Silas were beating up and thrown into jail for preaching and casting out a spirit of divination that was in a young girl who was falling after them day by day, that I know the spirit that is in you, and so and so and so on. You are men of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. After they beat Paul and Silas, they went to put them in jail and then put them in the stocks, chain them, and at midnight, when they should have been brooding over what they were experiencing, wondering what the judges would do against them the following day, whether they will be thrown into jail for a long time, Paul looked at Silas. Silas looked back. He said, let's pray. The Bible says that pray without ceasing. Then they started praying. And as they prayed, they came to a close of it. Then they raised praises. No keyboard, no guitars, no violin, no drums. But the people were praising God, and I'm sure with the chains and the stocks, they were doing atradi, atradi. Then suddenly the power of God broke through. What is it that is in a man that will make him continue doing this? And when the power of God broke through, there was an earthquake. They also felt it. An earthquake is frightening, and it opened the prison doors. But Paul knew that it was not time to escape. He got up and he looked at the jailer who was about to commit suicide because he thought they were escaped. And he said, don't kill yourself. And he says, God has visited this place. And if you believe him, salvation will come to your house. Look, I may not have preached at that time. I've been thinking about my skin. But there was something in Paul that kept him going. When the going was tough, Paul became tougher. Nobody was paying him any salary. Nobody was promising him end of service benefit. But there was something in Paul. He was looking ahead. Unless you look ahead, you'll be discouraged for the present. Unless you see the joy that is set ahead of you, beyond the cross, beyond the despising, beyond the criticism, and beyond the maltreatment, you will not be happy. Look beyond. Look beyond the joblessness. Look beyond the marriagelessness. Look beyond your life that you are not seeing fulfillment. Look beyond. See the glory of God. See the power of God. See the hand of God. See the grace of God. What you are going through now is just passing. Can I hear an amen? See, like Joseph did, he saw that he was a king, and he endured. See beyond. Tell the next person, see beyond, see beyond. That's today, that's what God sent me to come and tell you. See beyond. Stop seeing in front of you. Even if you haven't got money, see beyond the moneylessness. If you haven't had your marriage yet, see beyond the bachelorhood and the spinsterhood. See your own house. Oh, come on. While the landlord is throwing your things out, see beyond that shame. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. See beyond. Don't allow the devil to make you see what he's doing. It's a distraction. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. endured the cross. That is number five. That's what we're looking at now. Endure the torture. Endure the mockery. Endure the criticisms. Endure the ill treatment, the rejections. You have to endure it. Tell the next person, endure. If I as a pastor don't endure, I don't have the license to come and encourage you. Everybody goes through something. Everybody. Whether it's the president of the republic or is the least person in the country, you have to endure even your class teacher. Those who couldn't endure that class two teacher dropped out of school. Some of you dropped out because of a small paper of statistics. I met a statistics paper in the university and I told myself, this man, he can teach what he wants. But the day before the paper, the way I will prepare, either he fails or somebody else fails, but not me. Are you hearing me? Now we are coming to the title of the message. So let me go back to the text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now we are coming to the title, number six, despising the shame. Shame is real. I'm not here to tell you shame is not real. Shame is so real in Daniel chapter 2. The Bible talks about the fact that those who are asleep, those who are dead, one day shall awake out of the earth. And the Bible says some shall be consigned to everlasting life. They will spend eternity with God. But some others to shame and everlasting contempt. So God is aware there is shame. But listen to me. When Jesus went through these things, he went through some shames. He went through the shame of mocking, went through the shame of beating, public beating. Look at how that author who won the Oscar slapped the other one. Look at how the world is reacting. So shame of mocking, shame of beating, shame of wearing the crown of thorns, shame of his robe being taken, and they give me a little small something that they tied on his waist. I'm sure that for dignity you need a big towel on your waist if you want to step into the bathroom or step out. But they gave Jesus some chichiquin something. Then the shame of his death. We read in Hebrews a week ago that the death on the cross was a death of shame. But he died so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. So shame is a problem. There are some issues about shame that I'm going to recount. Look, when some people were young and they used to bed wet, some of the parents who were not wise brought them out with the wet mattresses and wet mats, and they sang Junso Krubu and all that. It was to ridicule and put them to shame. I remember some decades ago I met a woman who was about 48 years of age and was incontinent. That means that she couldn't control her bladder and the urine would come just like that, and she had lived up to that time in shame. I remember we prayed with her, we rebuked the shame, and the hand of God worked. And weeks later, when she came back, she said the situation had improved. Can I hear an amen from somebody? There are also issues where a child is made to repeat in a class and those behind catch up with the one. It can be very shameful. There are issues where you are dating somebody and you have advertised so much on Facebook and Twitter and all the platforms on social media. People even in Papua New Guinea know you are dating. Then suddenly there's the collapse of that relationship. It can be very shameful to feel jilted and left in the cold. Sometimes some people have successful business, successful ministry, and there is a storm, there's an adverse wind that blows, and they lose the business, lose the ministry. Sometimes it's divorce, and some people move into shamefacedness. And where shame persists, guilt remains. And the combination of these two can make a person think about suicide. I rebuke shame from your life, and I rebuke the power of guilt from your life, and declare you released from any ideations of suicide. Can I hear a big amen with a mighty clap offering from you? Sometimes for some people is their inability to achieve their dreams. Sometimes the shame, it's about that. Some miracle you are waiting for has not happened, and you become the gossip, but God will raise his hand. God will lift up his mighty right hand of power. It was the pain of Hannah that sent her to the temple to seek the face of God and to pray about it. It is not enough just to cry, and it is not enough just to be sorrowful, but move into the temple, move out of your confine, move to somewhere and convert the pain into prayer to God. He was born at a time when the prophet of the time had died. His two sons had died. And when the mother, who was in full term, heard about the news, she suddenly delivered and named this child a child of pain. But this man will pick the subject of pain, go to the throne of God and ask, why was I named so? You can talk about various people, including Jabez, who took his pain to God. Stay in the presence of God and let your pain be communicated to God, and let God answer your prayer. I'm prophesying already. I'm saying God will answer your prayer. I see a window of grace open. I see a window, Masokataya, a window of grace is open, that if in faith you will approach the throne of God, your pain will be converted to pleasure. Your pain will be turned into fulfillment. Your pain will be changed into an answered prayer by the power of God. There are some prayers that I had time to pray because of pain. The interest was not to curse, but the interest was to ask for a change and to ask for elevation and to ask for transformation and to ask for the glory of God. Let your pain drive you like Hannah to the temple and pray until a priest will pass by. And even if he thinks you are not praying the proper way, and you say that it is because of the heaviness of heart that I'm praying, then he will say, may it be done unto you according to the prayer. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Shame is real, but shame must live your life. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden and God appeared, the first thing they saw was their nakedness and shame. Shame prevents you from having the courage to appear before the throne of God. Shame steals your confidence so that when you are before God, you think he will not hear you. Shame makes you feel inadequate and incomplete. But I want you to know that you are complete in the complete completeness of Jesus Christ. You are very complete as a human being. You are only waiting for a certain answer to come. It doesn't make you incomplete. You are complete because he says he will perfect everything that concerns you. Shout yeah to God's glory. Church, I would like for you to understand in the name of Jesus Christ that listen to me, that God is about doing something tremendous, and the Bible is teaching us how to handle shame. Don't handle shame the way you think you should handle shame. If it is shame, label it and deal with it. Oh, come on, Sabatakata. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says the way you deal with the shame is to despise it. Don't magnify it. Don't exalt it. Don't allow it room to affect your life. But treat it with scorn. The Bible didn't say go and attack the people who are talking about you. He didn't say go and fight the people who are being mean and unkind to you. But he said deal with the shame itself. Deal with that which is keeping you in a reproachful state. Deal with that which is making you mock time. Deal with that which is making you a laughing stock. Today I declare from today, you shall no longer be a laughing stock. May the laughter of God fall upon your life, because I see your captivity that is being turned by the Spirit of God. Your captivity is being turned. Psalm 126. And when the captivity of the people of Zion was turned, they were like people who were in a dream. And God, their tongues burst forth singing, and their tongues began to laugh. May you laugh the laugh of God. May you get the final laugh. They may be laughing a laugh of mockery, but may God help you to despise the shame. I despise every shame, because you haven't got enough money. We despise it. We treat shame where it belongs. We despise the shame because you haven't got your own house. We despise it. We despise the shame because you are not married and you don't have your own child. And so what? We despise it. We treat it with scorn. We refuse to recognize it. That shame cannot control our lives. By the cleansing of the power of the blood of Jesus, way has been made to place the righteousness of God upon us. So you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You must be able to appear before the throne of God without any sense of condemnation, and without any sense of guilt, and without any sense of shame. If my landlord does not greet me, that is his problem. If my in-law does not smile to me, that is their problem. If a shop owner decides to be mean, that is their problem. I can walk out gently. Stop living as a slave to the opinions of people. Despise the shame. I didn't hear anything. Sometimes Satan will tell you, everybody knows about who and who knows about it. Will Smith, before he slapped that gentleman, how many people knew that his wife had a medical condition? People even didn't know his wife. Much more, Mia thought she had a nice dankat that fitted her nice head. But just wrong interpretation of a silly joke or whatever it is got him to go and slap the other gentleman. And because of that, the story has now multiplied itself. And Will Smith is losing some opportunities in acting and having his latest film played back on certain platforms. Who and who knows about it? Who and who? Unless you advertise it. If the people in the neighborhood know about something, and so what? The testimony is that God has allowed it so that when he raises you, it will be. I have difficulty with those Christians who cannot share testimony about their background, where God has brought them from, and they are hiding their background as if nothing has happened. When you see me, you will know what is accolade 12 and accolade 14. You will know the deprivations and the difficulties that I'm a child of a broken home, but the same God has raised me to be a teacher and a counselor on that. If you are ashamed of your background, you will not progress. When Jesus healed the Gerasene demoniac, he said, go and tell the others what God has done for you. The message is that I was filled with demons. I went off my mind. I was bound with chains and fetters and was living in the tombs, and I broke them and got wild. But when I met Jesus and he prayed for me, I am now free. Don't be ashamed of your background, and don't go pretending to be what you are not. Can I hear an amen? Live a pure, real life. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If you are not ready to eat from that top restaurant, eat from the next lower restaurant. When you are ready, God will promote you. I didn't hear an amen. Despise the shame. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, set something before your eyes. Despise the shame. I have only one pair of shoes, and it's tilted at an angle. The soles have nearly worn out. Despise the shame. When it's time to dance, dance. You can leave your shoes somewhere and come and dance barefooted. I didn't hear an amen. Despise the shame. Don't let the shame make you stay in the house. Don't let the shame make you stay in the bedroom. Get up. And wear one of the things in life. It can be a casual, formal, or formal. Step out courageously. Let them know that you are a miracle that is waiting to happen. Can I hear an amen? Despise the shame. We despise the shame of childlessness. We despise the shame of marriagelessness and joblessness. We despise the shame of lack of increase. We despise the shame in the name of Jesus of even ill health. We despise the shame. We look down upon it. We will not give it room. We will not magnify it. There are some things you don't have to let people come and suggest to you. As soon as they finish, and so what? You tell them. I don't want to indulge in such discussions. You can move away. Just give it to them. They will move away in shamefacedness. Let me end my message. As I come to a close of this message, you will lift your voice right now. and you will pray against shame. You've been joking with shame, and shame has been lingering. No, Solomon is your master. I didn't hear an amen. I remember years back, we moved into an accommodation that was far away. We didn't have a vehicle. And so, rainy season, the streets were not tarred. So it was red earth. And there was a lot of soil over there, clay soil. And so when we were dressed up and we're coming to church with three little children, I could carry one, mommy could carry one, but the other had to walk and didn't want to walk in the mud. And it was raining, and we'll come to the main road, come and negotiate for a vehicle to come to church. And there were some people who lived in another house because their house was not well, so they could see us. So whenever it was Sunday morning, they knew when we'd come out. And then they would be leaning on the ledge in front of their veranda. And then they would be running, coming to, I said, you'll be running this commentary till Christ comes. By the time they realize, just within a short period, God blessed us with two cars. Come on. They saw our children develop. God opened local and international doors for them. We have since left them, and they are still there, still leaning on that ledge. They will still be talking there. Nothing has changed in their lives. Lift up your voice now. Get up and pray like Hannah. Reject the shame. It's a spirit. Reject it. You are not supposed to walk in shame. Mikataya brastakataya. If I came to marry in your house, I haven't committed any sin. If you don't accept me, fine. Mikatu kataya. Lift up your voice. Your business will not collapse. Your ministry will not stagnate. I declare that your relationships will not fall apart. May God arrest every evil that is against you. May the shame be despised and subdued by the Spirit of the Almighty God. We overpower that which is rising against the knowledge of God, and we subdue them to the authority in the name of Jesus. We stand in readiness to oppose any disobedience that the enemy may manifest. We declare we are not slaves to the opinions of others. By the power of God, we are like Hannah. We enter the temple to get God to convert our pain into pleasure, our pain into a conception and a baby that shall born, our pain into glory, that them that love us today will regret they did that. Lift up your voice, somebody. I see the hand of God. Lift up your voice. I see the power of God ripping of shame from the church, ripping of shame from where you are, whether online or part of the in-service, in-person service. May the shame be rolled away. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. God told Joshua, this day shall the reproach of Egypt, may the reproach of the past and the present be rolled away. I rebuke reproach. I rebuke shame. Mia tanda kata tataya. Ristolorobro sindiribekia. Ayelerebekaya. 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 You will not be divorced. Ya yabakua kataya. Ibuangataya brestelebekia. Ayelebekia staya. Ayelebekaya. Ayelebekia staya. Emia sokataya. Ayelebekia stelebekaya. Ayelebekia stelebekia. Ayelebekaya brestelebekia. May the heaviness on your life be broken. Any satanic heaviness that does not make you pray, today we break it by the power of God. In the name of Jesus, we release you from the influences of darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the sorrow leave you. May the pain leave you. May the reproach disappear from you. May the shame vanish and never come back. May your prayers be answered. May God hear your cries today and visit you. May you be visited like Mary. And may you conceive of that holy thing. In the name of Jesus, may the angel of the Lord visit you. May the presence of the Lord dwell with you. I yell at him, I breast, tell him, I